Go ahead and take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. I wanted to just say it's good to have the band back. How many of you know someone in your family that's had COVID? Raise your hand if someone in your family. Man, all over the building. Wow. I hadn't said anything, but I just want to just wish my mom well. My mom likes to watch here on Sunday morning. She's in Missouri. But my mom is 86 years old, has COPD, and got COVID, and did great. She is doing wonderful. That was a couple months ago, and she is doing great. Mom, I love you. And I said, but you're 86, Mom, and you can add one more thing to your resume. You beat COVID. And she just laughed, you know. But she's doing great, and we're just so thankful for that. And, Christmas Eve's coming up. Like I said, Christmas Eve service, we will have one, but it'll be online. We're just usually packed like sardines in here on Christmas Eve, and I just didn't think that was a good idea this year. And how are you going to, it's a really hard thing to control. So we just decided we're going to do it online and encourage people to worship in their home. By the way, do we have to be in this building to worship Christ, yes or no? No, just worship him at home, invite neighbors over or friends or family, you know, if you're comfortable with that, and have them worship with you or just your immediate family. Worship Christ and just be reminded of what Christmas is all about there on Christmas Eve. We're going to live stream at 6, and then you can watch it anytime thereafter, you know, after 6 o'clock. But it'll actually live stream for the first time 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve evening. So we hope you'll watch. The band will be doing some great songs, message. We're going to have a kids' time in there, and it'll be awesome. Coffee House is open today. And so if you want to get a gift card for someone for Christmas, do it today because they'll be closed now through the holidays until January 3rd. So January 3rd, New Year, we'll be opening up for business, and we'll be business as usual. So keep that in mind. It is open this morning. But, we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 2, so I hope you're there. Familiar story here, but we're going to look at it. And, you know, everybody today seems to be seeking something, you know, it seems like in life, right? Everybody's seeking something. Maybe it's a better job. Maybe you're here today, you're seeking a better job. You hope 2021, you can get a better job. Maybe some people are seeking more money, more power. Some are seeking more popularity and friends. Some people are seeking for more pleasure and fun. That's what it's all about for them. I just want to seek more pleasure, more fun, have a good time. Some people are seeking a meaningful relationship. They just wish they could have a meaningful relationship. Other people are seeking inner peace. Some are seeking deliverance from an addiction. Some are seeking true joy. Some are just seeking survival. It's like they're just trying to survive to the next day. How many of you, be honest, in 2020, you have felt like it's survival mode, just get me to the next day? How many of you have felt that way? Yeah. And this passage before us is about people seeking something. It's been called the story of the three wise men. Have you ever wondered why they're called wise men? And it's very simple. The reason why they were called wise men is because they were seeking Jesus. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and they were seeking Christ. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It is one of the smartest, wisest, most intelligent things that a person will ever do is to seek Christ, follow him, and serve the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one to beat death. He is Lord. He is Messiah. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and the smartest, the most intelligent thing anyone would ever do is to give their life to Jesus Christ and serve him. Many people are seeking for this or that because they feel an emptiness inside. You know, they're looking for something. They're seeking something. There's a void inside of them, you know. And some people are seeking peace, some contentment, some happiness. Some are seeking for like a feeling of purpose and meaning to their life. Some will attempt to fill that void in their life with drugs. Some will seek other destructive things. You know, some will seek to fill that void in their life, that lack of peace or whatever it is. They'll seek to fill it with alcohol or sex or money or material possessions or fame or success, pleasure, power. But none of that will work. You see, that void inside will never be filled until we find Jesus Christ. And the good thing is, he can be found. I remember when I started seeking Christ as a teenager, I, I had not sought Christ really at all in my life. And I was all about having a good time, having fun. I remember seeds began to get planted through my brother. And he had taken me to church a few times, and I began to seek Christ. And I remember the day that I actually found him as my personal Savior. Man, what a day that was. I sought him, and I found him. And did you know that God desires for every person to seek him? If you look at the screen, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near." In other words, there may come a day when you're not going to be able to seek him, so do it today. Don't put this thing off. Don't assume you've got next year. Don't assume you have tomorrow. He says, seek him while he may be found. You got a pulse, you're breathing, then now is the time. Seek him right now while he may be found. I like Hebrews 11, 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently what, church? Seek him. How do we seek Jesus? Well, I kind of want to just follow the wise men here, and I want to follow after them, and I want to see how the wise men sought and found Christ. It's such a great story. You know, it seems like, not every year, but it just seems like almost every other year, I'm gravitating back to this passage at Christmas time because it is an incredible, timeless passage, a Christmas story, you know, about people like you and I mean, they put on their pants the same way we do. These are regular guys, but the Bible calls them wise men because they were seeking Jesus Christ. They wanted to seek and find him, and they did. And they end up finding him and coming, and you remember the story how they come and they present him gifts and they worship him and they give him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And these guys found Christ. And so I want to kind of follow these wise men, and I want to look at how they found Christ, how they sought him and how they found him, and apply it to our life. And you know, as I was reading this, the first thing that hits you right off the bat is that they followed the light that God gave them. If you look at verse 1, look at this, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we just sung about that, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. These guys travel a long way. They get to Jerusalem, and the Bible says they followed his star and they came to worship him. Now, what is this star business, right? What does it mean they followed his star, this light? Some people believe that the light was a special manifestation from God, and that it was some type of a special radiant light that God gave, you know, to guide him. And that very well could be. It could have been a manifestation of God's glory. I'm gonna grab my phone here. Hope you silenced yours today, but I did mine. But I did have an article here that I thought was interesting. Some of you may have seen this. It was in the Orlando Sentinel a couple days ago, but I actually saw it a month ago. And the title of the article is Like the Star of Bethlehem, Jupiter and Saturn to Get Cozy in the Night Sky. And it talks about how that the planets Jupiter and Saturn, it says they are going to be so close on Monday night as to appear as one bright star in the December sky. But it's actually going to be two planets that are really, really, really close together, Jupiter and Saturn. And then it says it's known as a planetary conjunction. It's similar to what astronomers posited happened around it. Actually, they've traced it back. It happened right around the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. Except then it was Jupiter and Venus, not Jupiter and Saturn, those two planets. It goes on to say that these planets have not had this happen. They have not been this close in the night sky since the year 1226. Was anybody around then? Long time ago, wasn't it? I mean, like 800 years ago was the last time this happened. I guess Monday we'll be able to see this. And pretty amazing, huh? 800 years ago. It only happens like every 800 years. And so, you know, God could have used natural means like this in order to guide these men to Jesus. We're not exactly sure how it happened, but the bottom line is that God gave this shining light to guide these guys to Jesus. Was it just them? No. I mean, as we read the biblical account of Christ's birth, we see that others were seeking him and they received light. Simeon, Clayton mentioned the old man Simeon, Anna, the shepherds, remember, out in the fields. And the point is this, is that God gives light and God desires for every person to find Jesus, not just a few. God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everybody to come to a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the verse, 1 Timothy 2:4, and it says that God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Titus 2:11 says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And did you know that just as God sent this bright light to lead these wise men to Jesus, God is sending light to every person in the world today? If you would, look at the screen here at John 1, where it says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness in order to testify concerning the light, capital L, it's referring to Jesus, that all men through him might believe. It goes on to say, John was not this light, but he was sent in order to testify concerning the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. You see, every single person has been lightened to a certain degree. For example, the Bible teaches in Romans 1:20, creation is a light that should cause people to seek after God. You look at creation, and it's amazing. The complexities, like I was just talking about these planets that are out here and moving around. And right now, we're on planet Earth, and we're soaring through space, you know, right now at thousands of miles per hour. We're sailing through space right now. And yet, we're the perfect distance from the sun to where, and stay the perfect distance. And if we were a little bit this way or this way, we'd either freeze or burn up. And you look at the complexity of the galaxies, And the heavens, you look at the complexities of the earth, you look at a baby being born, if you've ever seen that, and it's like, whoa, you know, it is amazing how intricately our bodies are made and how we can reproduce and all this. And it's like, really, this just happened out of randomness? Like complexity and order just came out of complete randomness? No, I don't think so. That would be impossible. Creation itself speaks to the fact that there is a creator, there was intelligent design, that somebody a lot bigger than us put all this together, amen? In fact, Romans 1:20 says that creation, the invisible things of God, his Godhead and his deity, it says the invisible things of God, the things you can't see God, but the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that he made. Not only that, we have the light of our conscience. You know, it's like every people group and every culture understands that there's good and evil. Well, where do they get that knowledge from? I mean, people groups that don't have a Bible know that there's good and evil. Where did that innate awareness come from? The Bible teaches that God put that in us. That's what separates us from animals, is that we have that conscience, that understanding of good and evil. And if a person will respond to the light that they have, God will send them more light. These wise men, they responded to the light from the star. God gives them more light. He says, go to Bethlehem. They get specific instruction. We'll see that in a minute. I think about a guy in the Bible named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a man who gave alms. He tried to do good deeds. He prayed. He was seeking after God, but he knew nothing about Jesus. And so because he was following the light he had, God sends him more light. And, of course, Peter comes and gives him more light, and he finds Jesus, and all of his friends find Jesus too. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ personally, you're probably here today because you're seeking. Now, it could be you were just drug here by somebody. But if you're here, you're probably seeking. Maybe you're not even sure what you're seeking for. But God is graciously sending you light today. He's pointing you to Jesus. This is your star right here today. This is your star. He's pointing you to Jesus. Now, of course, Satan's attempting to blind people from the light of the gospel. He wants nothing more than for you to be blinded and to reject the light that God's given you. But please don't do that. Respond and follow the light. Like these wise men, they follow the light God gave. Follow the light God gives you. Keep moving towards God. Don't move away from God. The second thing I see here is that the wise men allowed God's word, the Bible, to instruct them so that they could find him, find Christ. They let the Bible lead and guide them to Christ. Have you ever needed to find something, like a document or a tool that you were looking for to do a project? Have you ever needed to find something, maybe your keys, and you're like, you really needed to find it, and you look for it, and finally, you don't have a clue where else to look? Have you ever had that happen? Raise your hand if you have. Please make me feel good and say you have. Happens to me almost every day, so frustrating. Remember the hairspray? We ordered 3 hairspray because we were going to have they were on sale, and I think it was Amazon, so we got a supply, and we put them up someplace that would be safe. You ever do that? Problem is, we don't remember the safe place we put them. And we looked, and we turned our bedroom, and we turned the bathroom upside down. We knew we had them. We had seen them. We knew they were somewhere. We could not find them anywhere. Did we ever find them? No. We did not. So if you want to come and help us look, let me know, all right? The other day, remember, we lost those gift cards. Remember that? At the 9 o'clock service, she couldn't remember it. It just happened 3 days ago. But Denise couldn't remember it. She's like, gift cards? What are you talking about? And I said, remember you said they were in a gold pouch? Yeah, and you're like, now I remember. And we lost gift cards. Turned the house upside down looking for these gift cards that were in a gold pouch. I didn't even know what that meant, but I'm just looking for something, you know. And so we're turning the house upside down, and those we found. Say, where were they? They were in the van in the glove box. They weren't even in the house. We're turning the house upside down. Finally, like, I wonder if it could be in the van. Some of you are like, hey, that might be where that thing is I've been looking for. Some of you are going to immediately leave church and go look in your glove box, right, for whatever you haven't been able to find. But yeah, it's like so aggravating when you're looking for something and you can't find it. But I want y'all to know that it is not that way when you are seeking Jesus Christ. God's not going to leave you hanging. The wise men not only had the star, whatever that was, they not only had that they were following, but they knew exactly what city Christ was going to be born in. You say, well, hold on, how could they know what city? I mean, you know, it's like there's thousands of cities. How could they know what city? I'll tell you how they knew. It was in the Bible. It was in the Bible. Look at verse number 3. Let me show you. It says, when Herod the king heard these things about them looking for the king, right? They're like, wait a minute. He's like, I'm the king. Bible says he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, those are like the Bible scholars, he gathered them together. And the Bible says he inquired of them where Christ should be born. And they told him. They said, oh, yeah, the Messiah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. I understand Bethlehem was not a metropolitan area. It was like a little, tiny, little sleepy village, all right? And he says they're going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. Look at it with me, verse 6. Now, they're quoting an Old Testament book written hundreds of years before this. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no longer least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he carefully inquired of them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again so that I may come and worship him also. They found out from God's word where Jesus was. He was in Bethlehem. The word of God led them to Jesus. Do you find it amazing that the Bible told them exactly where he would be born centuries before it happened? Did anybody prophesy where you would be born 200 years before you were born? I don't think so. You know, I mean, honestly, you think about this. When I was born, all of my family had lived in Rockford, Illinois. That's where my dad was born and raised. And my mom moved there when they got married. They had my two brothers up in Rockford, Illinois, way up in northern Illinois, by Wisconsin, kind of. And so they're way up in Rockford, Illinois. And even if in my mom and dad's lifetime, somebody would have said, you're going to have another son, and he's going to be born in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. They'd have been like, huh? Have another son? We're already done having kids. See, I came along 9 years after my brother. I was a, uh-oh. We thought we were done. Had someone told them during their lifetime and prophesied that, that would have been pretty amazing, because like Cape Girardeau, Missouri, I mean, we didn't have any relatives there. There would have been no reason to go there. So you can see how amazing it is that hundreds of years before Christ was born, the prophet said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Sure enough, he was. The Bible led them to Jesus. Sometimes people will say this, well, it doesn't matter, because you're like, well, you don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to believe in Jesus. And sometimes people will say this, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. Does that make sense anywhere else in life? It's like if I'm going to go to Missouri, can I believe in any road to get me to Missouri? As long as I'm sincere, I'll get there. You know, I'm going to take I-95 south to Missouri. Well, I'm going to run out of road before I get there. Amen. I'm going to end up down in the ocean. Yeah, no, I can't just believe in any road. If I believe in something, I'll get to Missouri. Nowhere in life do we think that. It's like the doctor gives you a prescription because you're sick. And he's like, now this is your prescription. This is what you need to get better. And then you think, well, you know what? I got a lot of old prescription bottles up here. And you know what? As long as I believe in something, I think I'll get better. I'll just grab one of my old prescriptions and take it for some. Yeah, I know it's not what he's prescribed, but I believe in it and I'll get better. It'll be all right. No. Nowhere in life do we have that kind of idea. No, the Bible's very specific. See, just like the Word of God led these wise men to Jesus 2,000 years ago, the Bible will lead us to Him today if we're truly seeking Him. You think about this. The Bible tells us where Jesus was. You say, what do you mean? Well, He was on the earth for 33 years. He lived, He died on the cross for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again. The Bible tells us not only where Jesus was, it tells us where He is right now. The Bible teaches that right now He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father interceding for His children. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful we have a mediator and an intercessor right now for us at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ? That's where He is right now. The Bible tells me that. The Bible tells me where Jesus will be. The Bible teaches that He's coming back to this earth again to rule and reign as king over this earth. He promised He would come back a second time, and He's coming back, and the Bible says He'll be the governor. He'll be the ruler. He's going to be king over all the earth. There won't be any elections. There won't be any elections. Amen. There's not going to be any elections. Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and reign, amen? And there won't be an election about it. He's coming back because He created this earth, He owns it, and it's His, amen? So He's coming back to rule and reign. So the Bible tells us where He will be, and the Bible tells us where He wants to be. So what do you mean where He wants to be? He wants to live inside of you. The Bible teaches that He wants to live inside of you. The Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Revelation, there's a verse there. I've got it on the screen. And Jesus said, listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. The Bible tells us where Jesus was, where he is, where he will be, and where he wants to be. He wants to live inside of you. He wants a personal relationship with you. And you don't have to, listen, if you want to find Jesus, you don't have to take my word or anybody else's. You can go to God's word. This will tell you how to find Jesus, just like it did the wise men 2,000 years ago. Psalm 119:105 says that the Bible is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. It helps cast away the darkness, gives me some light in this darkened world to be able to know how to find Jesus Christ. It's a light that will lead you straight to Jesus, just like that shining star led those wise men to Jesus. How do we find Jesus? Well, we got to allow God's word to instruct us. But then finally, the last thing I noticed was this, is that if we want to find Christ, we know what I learned from the wise men? We have to place our faith in what the Bible says. We have to place our faith in God's word. Look at verse number 9. It says, when they heard the king, they departed. The wise men departed. And the star, which they saw in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great excitement. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Once God revealed to the wise men where they needed to go and what they needed to do, my point is this. By faith, by a trust in the Bible, they obeyed. Once the word of God told them where Jesus was, they had the knowledge. They had it up here. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, okay. Now we know. Bethlehem. But they had to get off their back ends and go. Amen. They had to, had they not by faith obeyed and went, they wouldn't have found him. Their knowledge would have meant nothing. It's like I can look at a map, get your phone, you know, don't have the old road map. I mean, we used to have the big atlases, remember that? Denise loved to have that big atlas in her lap. Okay, make a right up here, she'd tell me. Okay, now make a left. Boy, I'm glad we don't have those anymore. Whew. But I can look, I can get my phone here, I can pull up Google Maps, and it can show me the way. But I got to, at some point, by faith, believe, and then I got to do what it says if it's going to help me. If I say, if the phone says, take I-95 north to get to Virginia, and I say, you know what? I think I'll take I-10 west to get to Virginia. Guess what? I'm not going to get there. That'll get me to California. It goes all the way over. But I'm not going to get to Virginia. If I'm looking for a tax document and I go to my Google Keep and Google Keep says tax docs are in the hallway closet in a box marked taxes. Well, I have the knowledge now, but I have to believe that. I have to act on it. My point is that faith does not lead to passiveness. Faith leads to action. If we look in the Bible, faith always brings obedience to God. Faith is believing and obeying God's word. Look at Romans 6:17 on the screen. It says, but thanks be to God, he says, for you were slaves of sin. How many of you have ever been a slave to sin? Man, I have, amen? He says, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which you were entrusted. Notice they obeyed from the heart. Paul talked about the obedience of faith. Faith is not something spooky and mystical. Faith is, I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey what the Bible says. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God can send light and God can show you your need of Jesus and you can see in the Bible, yep, Jesus died for my sins, he was buried, he rose again, but at this point, when you see it here and you read about that and you read about his resurrection, at that point, you have a head knowledge. And there has to come a point where you make a decision of your will to completely believe on Christ, trust him completely to save you. Satan has no problem with people believing in Jesus Christ intellectually. But Satan desires to blind people from the need of trusting Christ with all of your heart personally to save you from your sins. I want you to look at a verse, Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth, notice your parents can't do this for you, your brother, your sister, your friends, nobody can do this for you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. It's personal. These wise men had the knowledge because they read it and they saw it. Yep, there it is, Bethlehem. But then they acted on it and obeyed. And the result is they found Jesus. And they went in there, and there he was. And they knelt down, and they presented to him their gifts. And they worshiped him. I remember the day that I found Christ as my Savior. Whew. The day I got ownership of it myself. The day it became personal. Man, what a day that was. I remember I was talking to a guy this week. And his dad's the president of Trinity College, where I went to school in Jacksonville. And this guy, he's about 40, and he's like, yeah, he says, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, went to church, but he said, you know what? I missed the gospel. I missed it. I didn't know Christ. He said, I went out, and I just decided, he said, I was so afraid I was going to die and then where I was going to go. And he said, finally, I just said, I'm going to the other side. And he said, man, I mean, I lived hard and fast, and I experienced everything I could, man. I just was just like, I'm just going to go to the other side. And he said, it absolutely about led to the destruction of my life. He said, I was in one of the darkest places I had ever been in. This guy now works at the college up there helping train young people for ministry. But he said, I was in such a dark, dark place. I was in so much bondage. He said, I was such a wreck. He said, on the base, you know, where I was, he was in the military. He's like, on the base, he said, everyone knew the person that was going to get the drunkest on the weekend was me. He said, I was just a mess. I was in so much bondage and pain. And he said, you know, the chaplain, I went to Iraq, and he said, the chaplain there, I began to talk to him, and he said, I found a Bible, and I picked it up, and I started to read it. And he said, I remember the day when the gospel light finally turned on and I understood that it was all about Jesus and by faith alone. And I trusted Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I got ownership of it. And he said, my life radically changed that day. Once these guys found Jesus, Bible says they went home another way. Now I understand that means another route. They weren't going back to old Herod, were they? So they went home another way, and I get that, but I think there's such great application there. What a picture for us. I mean, you mark it down, man. Anybody who finds Jesus will be forever changed. Are you perfect? No. You're not going to be perfect, but you're changed. It's like a sheep, you know? Listen, a hog loves the mud and loves to wallow in the mud. A sheep may fall in a mud hole, but the sheep scampers out of it and wants to get that mud off. A hog just wallows in it. Well, you're his sheep now. You may fall in a mud hole. You're going to mess up sometimes, but you don't want to live in the mud hole anymore. Christ has changed your life. And once you're saved and you know him, there's now a pulling towards God. There's now a desire to please God. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Let's bring it up. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things have passed away. He says, look, all things have become new. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I would encourage you to seek him. I heard a story from a missionary. He sent us a letter, a missionary we supported. And he said, I had a knock on my door. It's in Africa. He was in Zambia. And he said they had this guy, six men holding this guy down. And he was so full of the devil, man, he said it was unbelievable. And he said they had six guys holding him down in an ox cart, and they came and knocked on this missionary's door. They're like, would you please take him to the hospital? They said, he has tried to kill himself by drinking battery acid. The missionary and these guys hold him down. They get him to the hospital. This guy is literally cursing and swearing and talking about death and hell and how he's going to die and all the way to the hospital. He's just full of the devil. They get him there, and they got to tie him between two beds. They put his arms and his legs on. They put him on the floor, and they tied his arms and legs to the two beds to keep him from hurting himself. Come to find out, he tried to hang himself. He tried to poison himself. And he said, you know, I didn't see him for the longest time. But he said, then finally, a few months later, I saw this guy again. And he said, I had the privilege of sitting down with him and showing him from the Bible the love of Jesus Christ. His name was Charles. He says, Charles trusted in Jesus Christ that day and asked him to be his Savior. He said, the next day, he was the first one to arrive for church services. And he listened intently as the Word of God was taught. He said, then the next morning, we all gathered together. He said, to work on the church. We were doing some work at the church, you know. And he said, man, I got there. And he said, Charles was already there with a big old smile on his face and joy all over his face. He said he was sitting in the dirt digging a post hole by hand. He said, I thought about that verse in Mark 5:15 about that maniac of Gadara. See him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion of demons? He said, now he's sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. About that verse, he said, when I saw him sitting there digging that post hole with a big old smile on his face. Church, aren't you thankful for the difference Jesus makes in our life? These wise men sought him and found him. And today, if you will set your heart to seek Christ, you can find him today. You can open up your heart to him today. He is there for you. He is lighting your path. He wants, this is your star today. He wants you to come to know him. So let's bow our heads right now and close our eyes.